you, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. It's only possible this episode is here because of our Patreon, so I'm just crazy enough to try and read off all of our patrons. Forrest Bates, Matthew M., Avantes, Trey H., James W., Gainstolf, Navalis, Rob May, Samurai Flea, Mr. Jones, Apex Predator, Wicked Good, Boticus, Alejandro B., Anthony M., Ryzen, Drunken Monk, Jordan L., and Calvin Horn. Thank you guys so much for supporting this show at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Hello and welcome to episode 112 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I am joined by you! That's right, we finally made it, ladies and gentlemen. We are here. Weekly episodes are a thing. I know that you have been asking for this for so, so long, and I'm thrilled to be able to partner with you guys through our Patreon to make this happen. And I've got a lot that I'll talk through with that, but I've just got to lead out this entire show saying what an honor it is to just be part of this amazing community, but especially to be in this seat. I love creating this content for you guys, and warming my heart seems like such a silly thing to say, but seriously, it means the world to me that you guys enjoy hearing this content. And so I'm really excited and thrilled to be able to really craft a whole new kind of show for you guys as we move on into the future. And just as a quick kind of overview of what to expect, this episode is just going to be me and you. So we're going to be hanging out. We obviously have a lot to talk about if you've kept your pulse on the beat of Hearthstone. And the reason for that really is because, you know, we've had some great people coming forward from the community to be on this show. And I thought that being able to just continue those bi-weekly episodes with people from the community is going to allow them to continue to be the quality that you've received from them. So these episodes that will fill in those weeks are going to be me running solo for the first time. So if I stumble over myself today, I apologize ahead of time. I haven't done this before solo, so it should be interesting, but I'm really excited. And I know that this is going to be a great partnership for us to really just continue going in on. And I will really value your feedback on this one, because I want to continue to make stuff that you guys enjoy listening to that hopefully will continue on what you've known and loved about the Happy Hearthstone, but also kind of blaze some new trails in that arena as well. And so in order to do that, I have no other choice than to kick it off with why I'm happy today. And I've got a pretty big one. This past week, I hit legend again for now the fourth time in total. So obviously, you're always going to be happy when you hit your goals, when you push yourself further than you've been. And I was really excited about that. I've got to say that this new ladder rework system has just been fantastic. And just like I thought, it really created still the same challenges that have always been there as far as reaching that point of legend. But it was done in a way now that, looking back on, was a lot more mentally stable for myself. I wasn't having to just grind unending games and hit bad patch after bad patch. I was able to just continue to press on and keep going. I'll talk more about it later as we get into kind of the meta breakdown and stuff like that for this show. But for now, I'll just say that It felt a lot better for me. And I know it was done in less time overall. It was done in fewer games. So it's nice to be at, I think it was March 10th that I hit it, to have 20 days now, or 30 days has September, April, June, and November. 31 days total of 21 there, to just be at the legend rank and not have to worry too much about getting up or down. I'm not one to really worry too much about the ranks at legend. I'm not a highly competitive pro Hearthstone player, so I'll still play some games in there. And in fact, if you saw on Twitter, I had a very, very rough run just yesterday, actually. So I'm not I'm not going crazy trying to make sure that I can level that up. But coming up against a lot of players who are just really super high caliber, it makes me feel like I've got a lot to learn. I don't know if you guys can relate with this, but I specifically remember when I was in youth group growing up, there was a foosball table there, and I would go and want to play with the people who are good at foosball. But like the people, the kids who were older than me, who were better at foosball than me, they would just like completely own, right? I didn't have a chance at all to even be competitive with them. But looking back now, I can see that I learned kind of some of the tricks of like flicking the ball into the goal and passing the ball between team member. I don't know what those little guys are called. Meeples? No, that's something altogether different. But that time really was valuable, even though it didn't feel like it. So I think that playing against legend players is kind of going to give me a similar schematic, where if I'm just, you know, at least really trying to put forth my efforts and thinking through the turns and stuff, that this could be a month that actually I grow substantially, even if I have a far losing record during the legend ranks. So all that to say, really excited about that, but there's far more to be excited about than just that. And that's why we've got to talk about our news today. If you have not watched the reveal video for the new expansion, you need to stop this podcast right now. Even if you're driving, you need to pull over to the side of the road. You need to pull up YouTube on your phone. You need to search for the Witchwood Hearthstone and watch it, because it is unreal how funny they made it. If you missed all the hype around this, man, it is so exciting to now finally say that the first expansion of Year of the Raven is going to be the Witchwood. And this whole reveal trailer and the tweets that Dave Kosak and Ben Brode were throwing out were very like Blair Witch style. And sure enough, it was a hint as to what this theme was going to be. Very much in style kind of with Whispers of the Old Gods, where that was kind of a creepy, like, but somehow still fun theme. They're doing something very similar with the Witchwood, which is set in a forest that, I, from what I've heard, used to be called something else. I can't remember what it's called, but it's been taken over by this witch, and now it's a dark and mysterious forest. And you've got worgens are definitely a central part of the themes, and other beasts, mysterious stuff. I mean, all the enchanted forest kind of things. This is, I am so hyped about this, because Whispers was really the last kind of dark-ish theme that we've seen from Hearthstone. And now the Witchwood is really going to give them even, they've had a chance to hone their craft, I think. So this one is going to be really exciting. I'll leave it to my friends at Velen's Chosen to talk to us more about the lore and stuff behind this, because to be frank, I don't know much. But what I can tell you is are the details surrounding this expansion. And oh my gosh, there's so much stuff. Even if you've kept your ear to the ground, there's probably something you missed. So I'm going to try and go as in-depth as I can to give you guys as much information, because there's a lot out there. And it's all really good. As always, Wicked Good and myself will be reviewing the entire 135 card set after all cards have been revealed. So we expect that to kind of be mid-April-ish. You can be waiting and in the wings for that. He already tweeted out that he's got the our great Excel spreadsheet. I don't know where I would be without Steve helping me with format and stuff like that. But we're really excited about that. If you haven't listened to those before, we go in depth on every single card, and we wait until all of them have been revealed, because we want to be able to know the context of all of the cards that are in there. Because sometimes cards can seem not quite so powerful, but then when you pair them with something else, it really changes things up. So if you've listened to those before, you know you're in for a good time. If you haven't yet, you should be looking forward to them, because it's really going to be fun. Each episode ends up being about 3 hours because we're crazy. But we have a blast doing them, and I know that you guys have said that those are some of your favorite episodes. So can't wait for that to happen. We have been revealed 6 cards so far, 6.5 sort of, which I'll get into. But like I said, there will be 135 of these cards. Every class will be getting two legendary cards this expansion. And we don't know, they haven't like come right out and said that there's some kind of theme. So with Kobolds and Catacombs, each class got a weapon and then a minion. With Knights of the Frozen Throne, every class got a hero card and a minion. And with Journey to Un'Goro, they got a quest and a minion. We don't know what those things are. And I would say that more than likely, we're probably going to see, well, okay, it could be one of two things. One, we're going to see two minions for each one. Or they might for the first time be doing legendary spells. And they haven't said anything leaning towards this. This is 100% pure speculation on my part. But we've talked about legendary spells as a potential for them to do. And with the Witchwood being this conniving, like dark, twisted world that's kind of, informed by dark magic and stuff like that, I wonder if they would give each class a really powerful legendary spell that's kind of dark in nature and sort of does something crazy. I think it would be pretty cool. And it's not quite something that you... I think it's something they could hold into their back pocket and not come right out and say, I mean, they've got so much exciting stuff already that they've told us about this set. I think that that's something that they could be kind of holding on to and waiting to reveal. So we'll have to wait and see if that's accurate. One thing, so the half of a card that was revealed was at the very end of this expansion release trailer. Ben Brode and Dave Kosak are just totally hijacked because they see a card. They're kind of finding cards throughout the forest and stuff, and they see a card, and we can't see it yet. And they're like, no, that can't be a card. It's too OP. And the best part is when Ben Brode says, do you understand the design implications? And then they just run off screaming. And as the camera's dropped, you see half of what is absolutely a hero card, and it's been confirmed since then, it's for the Shaman class, and it's Hagatha. Hagatha the something, we couldn't see because it's off of that. But Ben Brode has confirmed that that's actually going to be the only hero card in this entire expansion. And Hagatha apparently is key. She's the one who has crafted the Witchwood, who has made it dark and twisted. I feel like I'm saying dark and twisted every time. Especially when you look at like the tree that's sort of the logo. I don't know how you don't think of that. But Hagatha is going to be the only hero card in this expansion. So we're not getting one of those per class. I guess with that being a shaman card, that shaman is probably going to get Hagatha and a minion, but maybe every other class will see, I don't know, it'll the minion and the legendary spell or two legendary minions. It'll be really interesting to see what happens. And there's all sorts of speculating we could do, but we'll save that. 135 new cards. That's pretty much on par with what we've seen before. Really exciting. They've announced that Dungeon Run is kind of being redone. And so we're going to see it tooled up into what is called Monster Hunt. Very similar in nature, where you're building a deck as you progress through playing against bosses. But what's really cool about Monster Hunt in this expansion is that you're going to utilize four brand new heroes that are exclusive to Monster Hunt. So you've got the Cannoneer, the Houndmaster, the Time Tinkerer, and the Tracker. And they kind of mentioned that each of these fall in line with a standard hero, but they are each going to have their own unique hero power. So I think personally, this is going to just blow up single player mode in a really good way, honestly. Dungeon Run has felt pretty grindy to me. I'm working on my final class. Finally, I want to have it done before Witchwood comes out. I've got Warrior left. And actually, I've got a run right now that I'm on the very last boss. So I need to go back and play that. I think I was just totally just feeling the pressure. So I just need to go and try it. I think it's the darkness I need to come up against. But I feel good about the deck. Just didn't get Potion of Vitality, which is kind of an important one for you to get. So anyway, I'm much more excited about Monster Hunt because they did prove that this idea for the roguelike components of you never know what you're going to get can be both fun and infuriating. And I think part of the infuriating part for me is things feeling very, very similar. So because all of the cards that you can get in Dungeon Run are parts of the Hearthstone universe that we already know, outside of the treasures and the, well, I guess it's actually the treasures and the stuff that the bosses get. It's all the same. So with these four new heroes and the hero powers, I feel like that in and of itself is going to feel so fresh and vivacious that it's really going to, it's going to feel fun to think, man, I want to go in and play as the Time Tinker because this is the one place that I can do that. I think there's going to be a lot of fun to be had from this. They did announce that there will be a unique card back, just like with Dungeon Run, that you can only get from beating Monster Hunt. And I assume it's from beating it with all four heroes. I can't find that specific information, but I would assume that that's pretty safe to say. The expansion, of course, you guys are wondering when you can get your hands on this. I'm wondering that too. Right now, all we know for sure, all we really know for sure is what it says on the Battle.net shop part, which is that the set will release on or before April 30th. Now, that being said, after you pre-order, your bundle of packs comes up and it says available mid-April. So there's a good chance that we're going to see this probably on April 12th or April 19th, somewhere in that time frame. Blizzard is known to kind of release those expansions on Thursdays, so that would make sense. A lot of people are wondering if Friday the 13th would make a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's a question of whether they're going to do it or not. So, but it's safe to say that that's kind of the time frame you're looking at. Two more things. This is about actually getting the packs in your life. So they did announce that when you log in after the set has been released, you'll get three free card packs just for logging in and a random class legendary card, which is exciting. They've done this before with the weapons, with the quests. I would say that this probably debunks the free legendary spell, maybe. But a legendary spell doesn't feel as unique as like a quest, that it's like, here's this whole new type of card we're going to create. And I've been thinking, like, with new kinds of cards like that, it makes sense for them to, especially the high, you know, high cost legendary cards, for them to kind of give one of those as an incentive. So I don't know. You could argue it either way, probably. I still think the legendary spell thing could happen. But we'll see. So you'll get that free class legendary and free three card packs. But many of you, I know I've said it on the show so many times, I don't get any kind of affiliate cut or something for saying this, but the pre-orders are always the best deals because they're much less and it gives you a good starting pack. It won't give you every single card in the set, but it'll give you a lot of them. You'll probably get all the commons, you'll get most of the rares, and you'll get some epics and legendaries to play around with. I think it's great. But now they've actually increased the amount of packs that you're going to get from this. So now the pre-order in the past has always been for $49.99 in the U.S. You can get 50 packs, which is a good deal. And you typically get a unique card back, which you get with this one. And man, it's pretty. It's like it's the trunk of a tree and it's got all these twisted roots and stuff. So you definitely want that. But here's the thing. Now you don't just get 50 packs, you get 70 packs. And their marketing for this is actually a little bit odd to me. So they've been marketing it as, hey, you get 50 packs for $49.99 plus 20 bonus packs. But what that kind of misses is that the 50 packs for $50 is still a really good deal comparatively. So if you've pre-ordered before, great news. If you're planning on it again, you get 20 more packs than usual. And you think about that, you're probably going to get another legendary from that. Maybe some goldens, an epic or two. You'll probably get on average about two more epics and a legendary from that. Maybe one golden card out of everything or two. That's so great. I mean, this is a generous move, and there's really no reason for them to do this as far as I can see. Maybe they're wanting to kind of get more people into the pre-order, and 50 packs didn't seem like enough. I don't know. I'm certainly not complaining or questioning it because I'm super excited about it. And I did tweet out that there's a deal through Amazon Coins right now. So if you have an Android device, or if you have an Android software emulator that you use or something, you can actually get 50 coins from Amazon for $40 plus a $25 credit with Gamer Sensei for included in that. So you're getting, I guess that's $75 worth of content for $40. Again, no affiliate cut. That's just the best deal that I could find. And that's what I did. So I'm actually looking on Gamer Sensei for who I'm gonna hire. There's some great esports people on there and whatnot. So yeah. So if you want the pre-order but you want to find a good deal, you save $10 off the pre-order by doing it that way, and you get the Gamer Sensei stuff, which this is just a good deal. So definitely lots of reason to be excited for the Witchwood. I need to talk about some of these cards though, right? I mean, I've got to hold off for the full review set, but I got to talk a little bit about them, right? So I'm going to talk about two of the legendaries that were released. And these two, the community has been really excited about because it's kind of similar to Reno Jackson or what else? Kazakus or... I'm sure that there are others. Well, the quest cards, really. These cards reward you for building your deck in a certain way. And they have a theme to them of what the cost of the cards in your deck are. So these two cards are Baku the Moon Eater, who's a 9 mana, 7 attack, 8 health beast that reads, start of the game, if your deck has only odd cost cards, upgrade your hero power. So the start of the game thing is a new kind of keyword that is similar to Prince Malkazar, if you're familiar with that. Prince Malkazar would, just from being in your deck, would kind of trigger at the start of the game this effect that added legendaries into your deck. And so this start of the game mechanic works similarly to that. So with Baku, I think it's Baku, I don't know. If your deck has only odd cost cards, upgrade your hero power. So upgrade your hero power is the same effect as Justicar Trueheart used to do, which is giving you a more powerful basic hero power than before. And if you weren't playing during the Grand Tournament, don't know what that upgrade your hero power is, for most classes, it's going to double the damage or the effect. So for Mage, you deal 2 damage for 2 mana now instead. For Paladin, you'll summon 2 Silverhand Recruits. The only ones that don't do that are Hunter, which will only deal 3 damage to the opponent, because, come on, 4 damage is just crazy. That'd be crazy. And then Shaman, you get to choose which basic totem you summon. I think that those are the only two. The Rogue one will give you a 2 attack, 2 durability dagger, so that one's a little bit squirmy too, but everything else doubles up. Really cool effect, and this will be interesting to see how it kind of determines different deck archetypes. I mean, starting the game with an upgraded hero power is pretty crazy. Justicar Trueheart found her way into many different decks and was probably most utilized with Control Warrior, who didn't mind getting her out in the mid game and then just tanking up, gaining 4 armor every turn was crazy. I guess that was actually the main one that she was utilized in. But I think that having your hero power upgraded from the very beginning of the game is pretty crazy. And people are already speculating what kind of decks you can create with these. There's actually a great Reddit post that breaks down all of the odd or even cards for different classes that I'll link in the show notes here, so that you can kind of check that out. And why the evens? It's because of the other legendary card that we've got to talk about. Gen Greymane is a 6 mana, 6 attack, 5 health minion. And he reads, if your deck has only even cost cards, your starting hero power costs 1. So this is, again, going to get you right off the bat feeling good. And I saw some talk on Twitter about this potentially actually being kind of a high-costed minion that could find its way into some more aggressive decks. You think about decks that want a hero power every turn, and some of the more aggressive types, like a Face Hunter, would love to just hero power every turn, especially if you deduct the cost down to 1. And you think about other classes, probably something like Warrior would love to continue to do that as well. Now, obviously, Baku and Gen are not going to work together because you cannot have a deck that only has even and odd cost cards. There were also some clarifications that came out. So 0 is an even number. So that's how those 0 cost cards will work. They will work in the Gen category. That gets your hero power down to one. Baku is only going to upgrade basic hero powers, just like it says, and just like Justicar. So if you have played a Death Knight, you're going to take on that Death Knight's hero power. It's not an upgraded Death Knight hero power or anything like that. Also, there are going to be new filters that are going to be added, which is great for our collection to odd or even cost cards. So if you're trying to craft a deck with one of those two, you'll be able to easily find those things. And Baku will still trigger if Prince Malcazar adds even cost cards to your deck, which is pretty cool. So that might be a way around Prince Malcazar only being wild, but it's good that they're thinking through all those things. Also, very small, but Shifting Scroll counts as a zero cost card. Since that doesn't have a mana cost. I also saw that quest cards are an odd cost, and this is done at the very beginning. So even though somebody was brilliant thinking about this, the card reads, if your deck has only odd or even cost cards. So the thought was, you know, because it's in my mulligan, maybe it won't count in my deck. Well, that's incorrect. So quest cards will count as an odd numbered card. So if you want to do a quest deck with one of these, it has to be with Baku that gets you the upgraded hero power. So lots of deck building people are already thinking. I'm really glad that they kind of let out with these legendary minions, because we need some time to think about it. There's also like some design implications, things like how Hex was moved up to 4 mana, that allows for only one of these two kinds of decks to be possible. So I'm sure they've kind of been thinking about this for a while, but really exciting stuff as far as what's ahead for us in this set. So those are the only two I'll talk about. Oh, by the way, they're both neutral, in case I didn't say so. So all classes are going to have access to both of these crazy, crazy legendary minions. And if you want to see the other few that were released, you can check them out. I'll link them in the show notes. Let me check here and make sure that they're still, because I know there are a few other things that I wanted to say. So one other big piece of information is that there is going to be a stream to kick off the card reveal season. But they do this every expansion where they announce it. They give you a few cards to just sort of give you a taste of what's to come. And and then they really kick off the reveals with a stream. And then they'll have, they kind of kick it off with a stream and they end it with a stream. So March 26th at 11 a.m. Pacific time, there's going to be a card reveal stream. And so they'll probably inundate us with 10 to 12 brand new cards. And then they'll be releasing several each day for the next week or two to keep that hype train going. It's always a really exciting time. So we'll hold off on talking too much about them, just to hold most of our thoughts for the review with Wicked Good. And always excited about that. So that is most everything. What are a few other things? Okay, they did confirm that Deathstalker Rexxar is going to be updated to work with both kobolds and Witchwood beasts when this set launches. Very cool. They went way above and beyond what they needed to do, and responded to the community with that. So really thrilled about that. And what else? Dungeon Run is always going to be available. Or at least for now, they've confirmed that you will still be able to play Dungeon Run when Witchwood releases. So it's not just this one roguelike that they have at a time. I saw Yang Wu said that they're not sure how they'll deal with it when the set rotates out. But for now, at least, it is definitely going to be available there. And that's everything I got on that. So really exciting stuff about Witchwood. I hope you guys are as hyped for this as I am. It is a good time to be a Hearthstone player. There's good stuff happening. And also patch 10.4 has been released. So that has all of the Witchwood stuff, hype train, and as far as artwork and stuff like that. Also, you can pre-order the Witchwood pack that we talked about. And really exciting for Arena that there's been a lot of tooling in the arena mode for players. I'll kind of hit it quickly because I don't want to inundate you. I feel like there's too many Witchwood details we had to go through. But the two really basic things that you do need to know about Arena is that they have redone the entire way that they distribute your options. So now instead of you getting three cards that are all the same rarity, you'll get three cards that are very similar in power level, which is really, really exciting. In the past, there have been some very obvious picks. I mean, I think one of the examples I used in the video was if you had the choice between a Fireball, a Wisp, and a Snow Flipper Penguin, you'd want the Snow Flipper Penguin, obviously, but you have to go with the Fireball because it's just obvious that that's going to swing most of your games and stuff. So now their whole philosophy is let's give you three options that are similar in their effect on the game. And there still might be times where you have one option that's going to be really easy or that you should want. But overall, from what I've seen from everyone who's been playing, I haven't gotten a chance to jump in yet. The choices are much more difficult and much more rewarding at the same time because you really get to build something that's far more strategic, it seems, from that. So that's really, really exciting to see that happen. Also, at the last BlizzCon, they had a kind of a forum where they judged by applause which of these cards that were going to be exclusive to Arena would be put in the game, and they're absolutely bonkers cards, and they've been added now. The one I always remember is the transform polymorph, which allows you to discover a minion, and then you transform whatever minion you cast it on into that minion, which is really interesting. Probably not good for the ladder and for standard, but for arena, really cool and could swing the game, be very interesting. So they've added one of each of those for each class. So very cool. And I don't know if it's permanent or if it's going to be a limited time, but definitely something that's incentive for us to jump in. So there's also some new Tavern Brawl artworks, just like always, that they kind of throw in there. And then another really exciting thing that there are going to be 20 free packs of Witchwood leading up into the expansion, which is crazy. These are details that are kind of hammered out by people who can scan the code and figure things out. We can't figure everything out by it, but it looks like it's going to be at least or about 20 cards that or 20 packs, excuse me, that you can get. And that's kind of for special events and stuff. I'll update you guys as we know officially what's going to happen. But just know that, they're just giving us a lot of stuff, which is hard to ever be too salty when they're being so generous like that. And of course, it's for what we all want, which is a new card. So definitely good stuff there and really excited about what's coming. So before we get into the main topic of the meta and stuff, I need to take a quick sponsor break, which is going to be really easy for these episodes to talk about our Patreon, because the reason we have weekly episodes now is because you guys have stepped up to support the show on Patreon. And we have to talk about this a little bit, and I would really ask you to not skip forward on this, because it's just something that it's going to be a little awkward to talk about, but I feel like I owe it to you guys to just let you know black and white kind of where we are and what's going on with it. So here's just what has transpired. So when we hit the very beginning of this month, March 1st, that's when Patreon charges people and kind of reorganizes funds and stuff like that. So when we hit the beginning of the month, we were at that 150 threshold, which was the goal for hitting weekly episodes. Right after that, we had a couple patrons who had to change their giving and their amount and stuff. And I actually talked with both of them individually. Great reasons. You guys will actually remember a couple episodes back, I mentioned that as we hit that goal, it was kind of the perfect time to jump on, because I know from my history with fundraising and stuff like that, that things just change for people, and that's okay. Life is fluid. Things happen. Finances especially, they change. Your goals have to change, stuff like that. So now we're at a place where we're actually not at our goal. So we are $12 a month in a deficit sort of from that weekly episode hit. So here's where I want to be a bit transparent about how I created this and stuff. 'Cause, One thing I would ever hate is for things to feel like they're money grubbing or anything like that. I hope you guys understand that, you know, put time and effort and work into this podcast, and I offer it for free because I love creating it. I love making it. And you guys enjoy listening to it. At least that's what the download numbers tell me. So I'm thrilled to be able to offer this to you guys. But as I was coming up with the Patreon, the entire idea behind that was to create some financial margin so that I could do more for you. And I love doing this, but the hard reality is that this is not my full-time job. As much as I would love for it to be, it's not right now. And so with that, I actually sat down with my wife and crafted these goals with her because my family is always going to come first in my life. Being able to provide for them, you know, emotionally, financially, all those kinds of things was going to be my first priority. So this kind of falls into a category where it's a hobby. It's something I love doing. But in order for me to spend more time with it, it is going to take time away from them. So I sat down and I said, what are some realistic things that we could put in place to kind of, you know, get people engaged and have fun and create some goals that'll allow me to do more with them? And this 150 mark is really something I agreed on with her, as this would really be a benchmark where it made sense for me to devote more time weekly into this. And, you know, I really want to honor her with that. I don't want to ask her to compromise because honestly, even just letting me, you know, do the episodes that I do is a big deal. So the hard reality is that if we're not at that goal, I'm not going to be able to do the weekly episodes. So here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want to kind of be half in, half out. I really would like for weekly episodes to just be a standard thing that that we get to do together. But the hard reality is that we're not there. So because we met it for this month, man, I'm thrilled to be able to do it. But we're going to have to look at it again next month and see, did we hit that goal, and then readjust based off of that. So in order to do that, the hard reality is that I need you. Like I really need you to be a part of this. And I have to head that off by saying how thankful I am for you guys who have shown up in drones on the Patreon already. Some of you guys have been supporting the show since I launched it, which honestly, I never expected to be where we are today. So thank you guys so much for believing in me, for believing in this show, and for what it means for the community, honestly. But for those of you who haven't gone that far yet, I know there are lots of you who have kind of been on the edge, not so sure. Now's the time. Like, we really need you to be on here. And I don't want to come off as like a PBS, you know, public funding campaign or something like that. I remember growing up with those where it's like, we need 5 donors at $50 a month and you'll receive this Sesame Street board book for your kids. Isn't that fantastic? I don't want to do that. But I, like I said, I do have to kind of be black and white with where those numbers are. So what I'm hoping is that out of those of you listening, the 5 of you would be willing to say, at $1 a month, I can jump in. I can make this thing happen. You know, $1 a month is not much. I think that a lot of us, if we're real with ourselves, can afford that out of the budget. And it may not mean much on its own, but when many people say, you know what, I'll pitch in what I can, then that starts to hone in and become something that's much more powerful. So I'm hoping that 5 of you would say that, and that 2 of you would be willing to even say, at the $5 a month level, I'll jump in and get some exclusive content from Andrew every week, helping me become a better player, letting me know stuff that's going on in the scene and all that kind of stuff. I've been having a blast creating videos and blog posts for those people. In fact, this week I'm going to be creating a video about one of the elements that really helped me get to legend that I'll kind of briefly talk about on this episode a bit later. So those options are there. If we got even more, that would create more margin where we don't have to wonder month to month if I'll be doing weekly episodes. So I know I've probably gone way over on time than I intended to on this. But I feel like we kind of have to have that talk, and I'll keep mentioning the Patreon, letting you guys know. But I just wanted to be real with you that this is where we're at. If you want to see the weekly episodes continue, jump on and help support the show at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And again, thank you so much to those of you who have already jumped on. Your words and your support mean more than you know. So that's where we're at with that. Okay, deep breath. Oh, I'm a little bit stuffy. I apologize for that. That's probably not great audio quality, but we've got to talk about the meta. So this is kind of the idea for these weekly episodes, is that I'll bring you guys up to date with everything that we know out there with the meta. And one thing that I kind of have to talk about is my experience, and especially in climbing to legend, there's a lot of data that I can look at and talk to you guys about. So I mentioned it on Twitter that the two decks that I used mostly are decks that I found from streamers. So Pathra is a fantastic streamer out of, I can't remember where, I feel like she's maybe, I don't know where she's at. She's somewhere in the, we're the Western Hemisphere. She's in the Eastern Hemisphere somewhere, I'm pretty sure. But she has a control dragon priest that I used for the most part to level up from, or to rank up from 4 to 1. And the list is similar to a lot of other control priest lists that you've seen. The big differences would be a primordial drake that are in this list. It runs one greater healing potion, one priest of the feast, and it kind of has a couple more tech cards. But that deck proved to be really, really powerful. In the first couple of days, I had, I think, a 70% win rate with it, which is insane, especially up there and with a deck that I'm not, you know, completely comfortable with. I found that the deck was especially well-versed against Secret Mage. I had a, I went 5-1 against Secret Mage with this deck, which is pretty crazy. I felt like those were pretty much auto wins. I also went 5-1 against Murloc Paladin. So if you're seeing both of those decks, I would say that this is very, very strong. Dude Paladin or Token Paladin, whatever you want to call it, I went 4-3. So there were times where they would just keep on unloading on me and I just couldn't keep up with it. And the control and cube variants of Warlock were not so great. I went 2-3 against those. So definitely one to consider depending on what you're seeing. I didn't do as well with Combo Priest, but I did learn that playing against Combo Priest, you really have to pay attention to the health of your own minions, which is really important. So yeah, definitely do that. But there's just so much healing potential. I think that's why it did so well against Secret Mage. And with Murloc Paladin, they don't have as many ways to reload the board as Token Paladin does. So you're able to keep up with their big board threats with your Duskbreaker and Primordial Drake and stuff like that. So lots to say off of what you can get off of Netherspite Historian and off of your Draconid Operative with this deck as well. I did play against a lot of mirrors because people were trying this out, and getting the endless loop of Draconid Operative off of your own operatives and historians is pretty backbreaking. So if you can make that happen, you're in a really good place. And if you can't, you're probably going to lose that that matchup, unfortunately. But when I was kind of at the tail end, I just could not break through. I got up to the final boss, but then I went down to rank 1 and 2 stars, something like that. I would win a couple, lose a couple, win a couple, lose a couple. And the tip I'm going to talk about in the exclusive content for patrons this week is about how to watch for what decks are working. Because I was lucky enough to stumble across Slissa, who's a streamer for Fade to Karma, and she had a Spell Hunter list that she was using with Barnes and Yashiraj. And I've always thought that that deck was really interesting, and she hit Legend with it. So I said, I feel like I need to just try this and see what happens. Well, that was probably the best thing I could have done. I went 7-2 with that deck and made it to Legend. So that was just enough for me to get up there and to make it happen. And I wish that I could tell you exactly what those decks were. Actually, yeah, I can't, because it classifies them as other hunters on my Tracobot data. But I know that especially when you're up against that threshold of Legend, you can start to run into some decks that aren't necessarily ultra competitive, because you'll run into some lower Legend players who are just trying to fiddle around with different decks and try stuff out. My final boss was a Mill Warrior deck, which was a great setup for the Spell Hunter. What I love about the Spell Hunter list is that it's got a couple of different variables. There's some matchups where you have to go into face mode, and it does it pretty well. This list doesn't run Secret Keepers or anything because the Barnes Yashiraj combo is meant to just, you know, if you get lucky enough to draw Barnes, you get 14 damage on the board in one turn, which is pretty devastating for your opponent. In fact, that Mill Warrior, I remember, had to use a slam and an execute on it, which is still fine for him, but those are some pretty big pieces for him to just use on one minion. So, but then with Deathstalker Rexxar, you've got an option to get unending value near the end of the game, which in that one especially was enough that I really didn't care if he milled me because I was going to get something especially strong every single turn. So, so both of those strategies you kind of have to be fluid with this deck. Honestly, like I feel like it's off meta enough and really fun that this is something that that could be really good. It does struggle a bit more against those decks that I mentioned, the Murloc Paladin or Token Paladin and Secret Mage, but it does really well against most everything else. You know, your control warlocks that just get every single heal that they need. Unfortunately, you're probably not going to squeeze those out, but oftentimes you'll find that you can chip away at their HP enough that you pressure them into using those things. And if you can keep that going, then you can win. There, you know, several games that I won because of the Barnes Yashiraj meme. It's just powerful and it works and it's going to rotate out here pretty soon. So if you want to mess around with it in standard, now's the time. But also with things that had extra reach like Double Kill Command, that can be devastating for your opponent. I did craft Rock Dalar for this deck, which was definitely a you know, not something that you have to do. I don't think that card's necessary, but if you have it and you want to mess around with it, this is definitely the deck for you to try out. So. So yeah, you can go to my Twitter at AndrewIsLiving, and I tweeted out deck codes and stuff for both of those decks a bit back on March 10th, I guess, when I hit it. So you can definitely check that out. That's what I saw. When I look at my opponents, I had a ton of Token Paladin that I was coming up against. I think that was my number one opponent. I had 17 games, and I'm just looking at the data from those games from the beginning of the month to when I hit Legend just in Ranked. So this should be pretty accurate, minus a couple games I may have played on my phone. So 17 matches against Token Paladin, 15 against Secret Mage, and it's really hard to distinguish on here between Control and Cube, but if you combine them, there's 12 of those. And Dragon Priest had 10, Murloc Paladin 12. So those are definitely the hot contenders, and I'm sure that's no surprise to you when you're playing on the ladder. You know, the Secret Mage and Murloc Paladin lists are just trying to win the game so quickly that they kind of leave you without really any options to continue on. And Token Paladin is similar, but I think the reason we'll get into with the data that it's showing a bit higher in win percentage is that it has all of the aggressive options that you like in leading out and being able to close out the game quickly, but it also has options for refilling the board and maintaining your presence even if your opponent has answers. And I mean, Token Paladin wins oftentimes because it has so many answers, your opponent just cannot keep up with it. One Dustbreaker is not enough. You've got to have five of them or more. And so that's been really interesting to see. Also, a lot of people are running a double Spellbreaker, or at least one of them in their lists, especially these ones that we just talked about. So I feel like Control Warlock is kind of falling off a little bit, but I shouldn't get too much into that because we need to look into what the data says. So without further ado, I'll jump into the Vicious Syndicate report. This is based off of report number 83 that was published on March 8th. So that was pretty recent here. And what they showed was, of course, kind of what I said there. Priest, Paladin, Warlock, and Mage are the most popular classes right now. What's interesting is that there are four different variants of Priest that kind of buff up into it being the most played class right now, according to their data. And I should probably take a step back for a second and give you guys a quick overview. If you've just joined the show recently or haven't looked into these Vicious Syndicate reports, Vicious Syndicate is kind of its own esports entity that they come out with these Data Reaper reports every week, pretty much, on their site that anybody, including you and me, can share our game data with them, and I would really encourage you to. All you have to do is have a bot installed, like Tracobot or Hearthstone Deck Tracker. Both of these are really good tools. Tracobot just goes automatically on in the background. So if you don't have anything, I would really encourage you to download that. And there's just a few little data things that you do, and you basically just allow them to suck up that data from just the Hearthstone games you played, and they just analyze both of the classes, which one won, and they compile all of it into this huge report. Like this past one, they had 55,000 games that were submitted through them. And they break that all down and have a bunch of analysts, people who are really good at this game. One that you might know, Ridiculous Hat, our good friend, who's been on the Happy Hearthstone and is a host over at Coin Conceit. He's the Warlock expert, so he talks about that stuff on there. But they just do a great job in creating this. And so I thought it'd be really helpful for us to talk through some of the implications, what it says, and what it means for you, ultimately, as a player. So jumping back into it, priests, they outline that we've got Spiteful Priest, Combo Priest, Control Priest, and then Big Priest that make up most of the priest matchups. And Control Priest, like I said, really effective. Combo Priest has been gaining a ton of traction, especially with high-level players. It's a tough deck to figure out, but if you can... But if you know the pieces, you know, how to steal from your opponent, how to set up for lethal and anticipate what your opponent could be creating, it seems like Combo Priest is one of those decks that you can just auto win with a lot of the time. Paladin is just behind them, a tenth of a percentage point as far as how often people are playing. And Murloc and Token Paladin are making up the majority of that. No surprise to anybody, these decks are a bit simpler to pilot. The biggest things that you have to know is how to anticipate what your opponent can do to deal with your board in clearing it and also in setting up taunts and stuff like that. Because knowing when those turns are key for being able to clinch the win and be able to just own it. For them, they've had a tough time really distinguishing between cube and control also. So they kind of combine it all into just control Warlock, which makes up most of what Warlock is seeing right now. And then Secret Mage being, you know, the prevalent thing there. So we've talked a bit about those things. What's interesting in Vicious Syndicate is that they're able to analyze all the different matchups. So if you haven't seen it before, I really encourage you to check it out. And you can look at, you know, if you're unfamiliar with matchups for a deck that you're playing, you can go to this and kind of get a basic idea of, okay, what are the decks that I should anticipate being favored for? Which ones should I not? I can kind of tell you that, you know, the ones that you're not, you should probably know those matchups a lot better. Or if you're seeing a lot of those matchups, then maybe switch to a different deck that's a bit more powerful. And then they also have their power rankings, which show us at the different ranks which decks are performing the best. And again, no surprise really, in their tier one are three different Paladin decks: Token Paladin, Murloc Paladin, and Aggro Paladin. To be honest, I'm not exactly sure what the Aggro Paladin list looks like. I can kind of look at it here, I suppose. But for the most part, these Murloc and Token Paladin decks have just been so explosive at the beginning and then able to really keep up with things later on in the game. It looks like this Aggro Paladin list I'm looking at includes Deckhands, Glacial Shards, a couple Blessing of Kings, even Fungal Mancer. So there's probably just more to just charging and you know, clearing or being able to just tick down your opponent really quickly rather than reloading the board like Token Paladin likes to. So each of those decks overall have more than a 52% win percentage, which that doesn't sound like much, but when you're considering 55,000 games, different players of all different levels, it's actually really, really good. So no surprise there that the Paladin decks are just doing so alarmingly well. Considering all of the ranks, Secret Mage is after that, along with Control Priest, Control Warlock, and then Spell Hunter closes out that list. I actually was interested here with the Spell Hunter to see what they say are the favored and non-favored. It looks like Secret Mage is favored. Token Paladin and Big Priest and Spiteful Priest might be not so good matchups. So interesting. They didn't have a ton of data to pull off of with that. So that's kind of what they said. They always have a meta breaker of the week. And they said the control priest is one to look at, and combo priest as well. The reality is that both of these decks can deal with a lot of different archetypes. And I saw that with my control dragon run, that it seemed like, you know, Secret Mage was really good. I was actually really surprised that the control warlock matchup wasn't as good as it was before. My buddy Typical Tyrant, who, you know, supports the show, patron, he's actually going to be on the show here pretty soon as a co-host. He had this Thief Priest list that we did recently on my stream during his coaching session. And he hit Legend with it last month, and he said that that deck was so good against Control Warlock because basically you were able to just take all of their things. And I noticed that this Control Dragon list wasn't as good at that as his Thief Priest list was. I think it was more teched for that. So depending on the Control Priest list that you're looking at, it can be really, really effective against those long game decks. I mean, there's nothing better than stealing from a control warlock their Void Lords and their Doom Guards, and then they play Blood Reaver Gul'dan and summon nothing. Not exactly what their strategy was. And then Combo Priest, it is a tough deck to pilot, but if you want to try it out, I'd really encourage you to check out Boticus's stream. He's one of the co-hosts on Coin Concede, and been on the show recently as well. He's a fantastic Combo Priest player. So you can check out his Twitch stream simply at twitch.tv/Boticus. He's one that you definitely could learn a lot from. I learn a lot from, at least. So that's what they said. Let's look a little bit at what Tempo Storm has to say. So Tempo Storm's meta snapshot is a bit more feel-y. And what I mean by that is that Tempo Storm uses some really great minds on their team to analyze what their experiences on the ladder are and kind of construct what they believe to be the top most performing decks. So not quite as data oriented, but these people are very well worth listening to. Looks like this last meta snapshot that they've come out with was February 28th. So this would be a little bit dated, but still very relevant. Their tier one decks in order from top to bottom are Q-Block, Token Paladin, Murloc Paladin, Combo Dragon Priest, and Control Warlock. So the possibility with Q-Block is just very big. Similar to Combo Priest, if you get the right stuff at the right time, you can win pretty much any matchup. And that was my experience a lot, especially when running the Control Dragon Priest, is that Q-Block, I know, was more difficult for me than Control Warlock, because Q-Block sometimes just cheats stuff out in a way that you just can't respond to it well enough. You get that Mountain Giant on turn three into, I guess they could coin out Possessed Lackey or the Skull of Minari or something like that, and you just can't deal with what they have fast enough. So I would say this is another deck that if you know really well, man, go for it, because Q-Block does really well against most everything. They say in their meta snapshot that they say it's not as good against Secret Mage or Combo Dragon Priest. I would argue that the Dragon Priest matchup really is who gets their stuff out, because if Q-Block can cheat out a Void Lord, maybe even if they're running Tar Creepers, that can make Combo Priest have to deal with that stuff earlier than they want to. So Q-Block is one of those really expensive decks and is tricky to run, but can end up being really good. Again, no surprise, Token Paladin, Murloc Paladin, very, very good decks. A bit on the cheaper side, you probably have most of the cards that you need. Level Up is probably actually one of the most expensive crafts. After seeing Ant hit Legend with it, I did decide to craft a second one. Because it's still got another year to be used, so it'll be interesting to see how it lives on. Murloc Paladin, though, I do kind of wonder if there's going to be a place for it after the next set rotates, mainly because Vilefin Inquisitor is going to rotate out, and that probably in and of itself isn't enough for the entire thing to go bye-bye. I think Yeah, hydrologist was Journey to Ngoro because Wicked Good will never forget that. And I can't remember if any of these other cards are really at risk of getting out of here either. But still very interesting there. So that all being said, you've got some options here. It's interesting to me that Secret Mage actually doesn't make it into Tier 1 for them. It's a Tier 2 deck. So with all of that being said, with my experience with Vicious Syndicate's report, with Tempo Storm's report, I want to give to you my suggested deck. And this is the Have a Happy Time deck. The very first inaugural one for our weekly episodes. If you can have a drum roll, please. And that is going to be the Token Paladin deck. So I actually forgot to mention before that I did run a lot of that early on in the month. I actually had a 55% win rate with that. So it was doing really well. And I'll tell you that the deck itself, it just has so many answers against so many things. And outside of Combo Priest or Q Block really getting in your way, the Token Paladin deck has answers for just about anything else that's out there. If you're struggling to figure out a list to use, I would encourage you to check out the Vicious Syndicate report because they've got a couple there. Or I mentioned Ant earlier before. He was one of the finalists for the 2017 HCT Championships. And is the C an HCT Championship? Because if so, I shouldn't have said it twice. But anyway, he hit legend with a list that was really successful that runs Dark Convictions, which is a really interesting tech to kind of either buff your own guys or take care of some opponent's stuff. And my backup for that will be the Spell Hunter list that I ran. So if you want something a bit different and off the meta, the Barnes Yashiraj Spell Hunter list is just a lot of fun to play. And I think it's well matched against a lot of stuff out there, and it's just really unexpected. So I will list to both of those in the show notes if you're interested in trying them out. I really would love to hear what's working for you on the ladder, and that kind of leads us into our community section. So we didn't have any questions, but I did get an email from a new listener that I really wanted to share with you guys that was so exciting. He said, I'm a relatively new Hearthstone player, and I'm always looking for new opportunities for ways to learn about the game. I asked my Amazon Alexa one night, Alexa, play a Hearthstone podcast, where I first came upon the Happy Hearthstone. I've since listened to at least an episode a day and absolutely fell in love with it. You do so much for the community and provide a positive outlet to a game that can sometimes be negative. Thank you for all you do and continue to spread the positivity. Julian H. That was so cool to hear, man. I'm really excited that you found the podcast at all, but especially that you found it through your Alexa. And I've actually tried mimicking this, but it seems like I got an Amazon tap for my birth or for Christmas, and I really love it, but I wasn't able to get the same thing. So I'm interested to hear from the rest of the community. If you ask your Alexa to play a Hearthstone podcast, does it just play Happy Hearthstone for you? Because that's pretty sweet if it does. But regardless, thank you so much for the kind words, Julian. Really appreciate that. And that leads us into our iTunes reviews. We didn't have any new ones this week, but guys, I got a tool that finally allows me to see reviews from outside of the US, which I've heard this before on other podcasts, but it really is like, it's interesting to me how iTunes operates so wildly differently in different continents that it makes it really difficult to find this stuff. So I have some backtracking to do to thank some of you who have left reviews in the past several months from outside of the US. So I'm really sorry that it took me so long to acknowledge you guys. And number two, so thankful that I have a tool now that will help me do that. So going all the way back to August, I'll kind of blaze through these, but Scott Bloom left a review that says, so very happy, by far my favorite Hearthstone podcast and quickly becoming one of my most frequented, great hosts and guest hosts with a cheerful, genuine, and intelligent discussions. This podcast is great for seasoned Hearthstone players and a godsend for the newbies. Thanks so much for the content. Thank you, Scott, for listening all the way from Australia and for leaving a review, man. That means the world to me. We got RageBull86 from Canada who said, great work and insight. I love this podcast as a Hearthstone fan averaging rank 14 and 15 with the tips and tricks and just knowledge about the cards helps a lot. Do you think Hearthstone will ever add a Death Knight to the game as an expansion? Arthas for the win. If so, I would love to hear the Happy Hearthstone's thoughts on that, as I love hearing those created cards, and a new hero power would be great. I recommend this podcast for any Blizzard game fan. Keep up the great work. Smiley face. Thank you, Rage Bull. I really appreciate that. I'm not sure that I follow you. Do you think Hearthstone will ever add a Death Knight to the game as an expansion? Like, if it would be its own expansion? I came up with this idea once. I don't know if I've said it on the show or not. Ever since Heroes of Warcraft was removed from the Hearthstone name, it's kind of got me thinking at some point they will include other games from the Blizzard worlds. I know they haven't said anything official, but I really think that it just makes sense that that's why they would remove that to do it. And I think it would be really cool if they or released a adventure set that didn't actually, maybe it had some solo content, but if it was just the heroes from Overwatch and each of them were a legendary card, I think that that would be really cool. $10 or $20 just to get all of those. That would be really sweet. And I think them as hero cards would just make a lot of sense. It would be cool to replace your hero with Tracer or with Zarya. I mean, that it's a crazy idea, but I think that that would be a lot of fun. So thanks again for the review, man. We got Lewis HRH from the United Kingdom. He said, a warm place by the fire. A big hello from the UK. You guys do a first-rate job. Not only do you have the expertise of a legendary player in your ranks, but you offer a place for people who genuinely want to improve at the game. I've only just started listening to your pod, but I have already gone back to seek out your earlier work. Keep up the good work. Man, I'm so glad, Lewis. It really means a lot to me that this can have an appeal and a value to both players who are really skilled and put a ton of hours into the game and people who are just brand new at it. So I'm really glad to hear that. We also got Free 286 from Japan. The title is Awesome Sauce said, love the happiness and hearthiness. Keep the tune machine rolling. Happy 100th episode. So see, that was one that we missed during that time, and I really appreciate that. Thank you. Low Tuss from Canada says, just finished listening to the Lich King episode and thanks guys for sharing all of your insights. So helpful and just great to listen to. Cheers. I appreciate that. Cheers. That especially shows the styling of our international listeners. So thanks so much for that. And Grazler18, a new friend of the show from the UK, says, it makes me happy. Andrew sends out great content each week, and I love listening to this podcast. Hearthstone is a great game, and I think he touches on all the key points whilst keeping it interesting. This is on the list for must-listen Hearthstone podcasts. Thank you so much, man. I'm blessed to be a part of that. And another friend of the show, Taz Dingo from New Zealand, he says, why am I happy this week? Fantastic show. Would recommend this show to anyone looking for a great Hearthstone podcast. Thank you so much, Taz Dingo. Shout out to you and your show, The Golden Ticket, that he started off. Got to do a coaching session with him a while back, and he said, hey, I want to create content. I said, go for it. And so he's created his own show that you can check out at Twitter. He's legendary_HS is the show, or his account, I believe, is Tezdingo_HS. So thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate that. I know that that's a lot of reviews and stuff, but these are kind of parsed out over a lot of months. The truth is that this month we haven't gotten any yet, so would love to see some of you guys support the show. I know as you hear the Patreon stuff, maybe you say, man, Andrew, there is just no room in my budget. I totally understand and get that. One way you can support the show for free, if you still like this show and want to see it grow, is by leaving a review on iTunes. So please take the time to do that. It would mean the world to me. And I'm always thankful to be able to read that on the show and spread you guys' positivity, not just my own. So thank you guys so much for that. And it looks like we're all out of time, so that's it. Just kidding. I was not sure what to do about the card of the week because it's just me. And so it's a little bit awkward, but I thought to myself, okay, I didn't create the Happy Hearthstone. Josh Augustine created the Happy Hearthstone. What would Josh do? The spirit of Josh lives in this show. He is the happiness behind the Happy Hearthstone. And what would he do? The card of the week was his creation from the very beginning to be a fun, ridiculous, lighthearted part of the show. So I couldn't leave you guys hanging. I had to create my very own card of the week. So here we go. I can show you the woods. Take you way past Gilneas, but you'll just have to come to terms that I'm already dead. A whole new keyword with stats that really don't do much. No one to tell us stop or that's enough, except our total mana card of the week. And you probably know what it is. Did you guys like that? See, I can get creative too. I don't just make you guys do this. I can do it too. Phantom Militia is one of the brand new cards released that they've shown us from the Witchwood. And it has a brand new keyword, as I mentioned. And that keyword is Echo. And what Echo means is that you will be able to play this card multiple times during your turn. And they really tested this out with the card Unstable Evolution. So if you're familiar with that from the Kobolds and Catacombs, you could replay the Echo card multiple times, or you could replay that Unstable Evolution card as many times as your mana allowed you to. So when you play the card, it does its effect, but then it gets replaced in your hand by sort of a shadow card. Kind of looks like the Death Knight Valyra. And then you can play it again if you have enough mana. So Phantom Militia is a 3-mana, 2-attack, 4-health minion that has Echo and Taunt. So the stats really aren't much to talk about, but the power level on this card really is in this keyword Echo. Being able to play a card multiple times allows you to have flexibility, because you could play this card once on turn 3, or twice on turn 6, or 3 times on turn 9. It gives you that level of flexibility that it's not just kind of a dead card on turn 9 that you have to combine with other cards. You have more options with it. So that inherently makes it more valuable. I think that this is just kind of a teaser card to show us the keyword and kind of get us thinking in that direction. But it's obviously not, I don't think it's going to be the coolest card that has Echo or the most used. Because really, other than like a quest warrior, I don't know what else this fits in. Now, in a quest warrior, this is actually a really cool card, because getting 3 guaranteed ticks off of one card that you have in your hand is really powerful. Not to mention being able to pull this off of Stonehill Defender, pretty cool as well. And that only odd cost card, the Baku that upgrades your hero power, that includes a quest, and it would include the Phantom Militia. So being able to tank up might actually give you quite a bit of ability to stay alive for the rest of the game and not just kind of be out of sorts. So I think it's really interesting that Phantom Militia might actually revive Quest Warrior a bit. I don't think it's going to do it on its own, but I will be interested to kind of play that deck and see if this card really becomes a thing. I think it'll be certainly interesting, if nothing else. So that'll wrap us up for today. I will remind you, as always, that you are the Happy Hearthstone, and really appreciate you tuning in and listening to this solo cast of the show. Seriously, let me know what you guys think about this. I really want for this content to continue being valuable for you, fun to listen to, and really a great time for all of us. I'll probably be finding ways to really elicit more topics and thoughts and questions from you guys for these episodes specifically, because hopefully this meta, I don't know what to call it, the happy meta? Maybe something like that. It is something I could do every other week, but I'd love to have more conversations and stuff like that. Also thinking about reaching out to get some interviews from maybe some higher level players and stuff like that, just to kind of create some conversations and have some refreshing content for you guys. So definitely email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com or tweet at me at @AndrewIsLiving or the show at @TheHappyHS to let me know what you guys thought. Also, you can join our Google Plus community. And you can find the links for that, as well as the YouTube channel for The Happy Hearthstone and our Blizzard group that we have. You can find people to play with and stuff on the Battle.net client. You can find all those links at our show notes, which are at thehappyhearthstone.com. Have to give a huge shout out to our official producers of The Happy Hearthstone, Drunken Monk, Jordan L., and Calvin Horn. Thank you guys so much for supporting this show at the highest level. I hope you guys know, especially because you're supporting it at that level, just how big of an impact you're making in helping us get to this weekly podcast thing. I'm hoping that we'll have some more people step up and help us to get there, because you guys have really led the way. So thank you so much for doing that. And the only link that I missed was my Twitch. If you want to follow me on there and see the random times I'm streaming, I try to stream all the coaching sessions I do for our patrons. It's at twitch.tv/AndrewIsLiving. Following me on there would really help to support the show. It's also another way you can support the show by subscribing on there, and you get an exclusive Andrew Champ emote that you can use while you're in any channel. And you can subscribe with Amazon Prime, so that might be a free way that you can also support the show. So that'll do it for our inaugural weekly episode. Seriously, guys, it means the world to me that you swing by, that you listen, that you interact, and that you share the show with friends, iTunes reviews, Patreon. I mean, you know what you've done, and I'm really thankful for that. That sounds like a really bad thing. You know what you did. Seriously, though, you know what your contribution has been to this show. You make this happen every time. So thank you so much for being on this. I'm really looking forward and hopeful that we can get to that goal so that we can continue these weekly episodes and that we can continue to connect every week. So thank you guys so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you guys next time.